The Brain Collective on Stray FM's Health and Wellbeing Show.
It probably won't be news to you that the UK has an ageing population, and there are rising numbers of people being diagnosed with varying forms of dementia every single day. Now, whilst it could be deemed as a process we have little control over, something that we as a nation and as individuals will just have to deal with as opposed to prevent, the team at the Brain Collective in Harrogate are looking at it differently, and they're encouraging people to future-proof their brains. Maria and Paula from the Brain Collective, who offer a range of neurotherapy, explain a bit more about what that means.
Obviously, at the minute, you are aware of more and more people coming to retirement and deciding, how am I going to keep active? And it's not just about physically keeping active, it's about mentally keeping active. Basically, people who stop doing what they do, they either use it or they lose it. So the suggestions are you go on to further something with maybe a language course, or you take up another role in a job, maybe you go into teaching or try something totally different. But interestingly, in one of these studies as well, has been the impact that neurotherapy has actually had on the brain and increasing the mass of the brain to make sure that they're not losing the short-term memory. So one of the things we're really passionate about is that people understand that here we're not just about the anxiety, the depression, and helping children as well. We are actually helping people future-proof the brain so that they actually don't go in that decline. And there are a lot of different things we offer here that actually do support that.
The two big studies that are very important. The Whitehall study actually took 30 years to complete.
Wow.
So over a 30-year period, they tracked something like 3,500 civil servants, doing cognitive tests on them, and then they tracked them after retirement. A little bit scary, the results. Within literally months of them retiring, they had a decline of 38% in their verbal memory. And verbal memory is quite interesting. Verbal memory is very much linked to certain parts of your brain. It's memory for words, particularly linked to the left-hand side of your brain and an area called your hippocampus, which is also very much commonly known as your navigation skills. So what is more interesting for us, technically, is what has happened with the Alzheimer's Society in the States. They took a cohort of people who've got what we call mild cognitive decline. And these are people who are just beginning to experience that, I went upstairs, can't remember what I came for, can't find the words to describe things.
Which everybody does sometimes. Absolutely. Have occasionally, don't they? I've definitely done those things, but I guess it's when that happens more frequently.
It is. And then you get husbands and wives or children going, oh, dad, mum, you know, it's funny, it's happening more often. So the Alzheimer's Society in the States actually took quite a large group of people who were on the beginning of that decline. And they did a study looking at doing three interventions with them. The three legs were pretty much weekly cognitive stimulation for these people, essentially iPad brain training, and the Mediterranean diet, which is big news at the minute, which isn't pasta, by the way.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Pasta, pizza and ice cream, right? Yeah.
Sadly not.
So what is in the Mediterranean diet?
Well, it's very interesting. It's pulses, legumes and vegetables, not masses of fruit because it's full of fructose, oily fish, chicken and things like that. So it is a really interesting diet to have a look into. And then the third leg of it was this funny thing called neurofeedback. So it was actually operantly training their hippocampuses, their brains, to perform better. They then MRI'd the subjects after a 12-week, I'd call it boot camp, a 12-week brain boot camp. They actually saw, instead of an atrophy of that area, sort of a death of that area, there was an actual growth and volume of the hippocampus.
Wow.
There was an 84% significant increase in their cognitive function as a group.
So where it had declined previously, if they had not done this brain boot camp, yeah, it had improved by 84%.
Yes, percent.
Gosh, that's massive, isn't it? That's not
it's
just
massive.
That's,
yeah,
not just a little indication, yeah, of some improvement. That's,
yeah, you know, and it's something that we really want to get the message out about, that we don't have to put up with this. It's really, mm-hmm, important. The stats say that by 2050, they reckon there's going to be 2 million Alzheimer's and dementia cases in the UK.
My name is Ted Garrett. I work as an executive coach and management trainer. I'm 70 years old. I've been doing this for a living for a long while. And before that, I've always been interested in psychology and what makes people tick. I got involved with mindfulness a few years ago because I was just interested in things that help the mind stay young and fresh. I also write books around this sort of thing as well. So I've written 3 books. I got involved here. I knew Maria from before. And I came up here and had my brain mapped. And then what happened was 14 months later, so January of last year, I had a fall, woke up in hospital and had a blood clot removed and ended up with a shaved head and 52 staples in my head and not allowed to drive for 10 months. Maria then suggested partway through that, wouldn't it be interesting to map your brain now, having been damaged?
And just as a reintroduction to what a brain map is, let me just quickly come back. What is a brain map, Maria?
It's a process where we put like a swimming cap on someone's head. It's totally non-invasive and it doesn't hurt. But what it's allowing us to do is take essentially a 3D image of a brain. And we're looking at the electrical activity. We calculate those numbers and we turn those numbers into pictures for people, which are much easier for everybody to understand. And what it does is it allows us to look at how an individual's head is running compared to their age-matched norm.
So we got some very detailed brain maps then of you, Ted, pre your accident and after your accident.
Right.
I presume there would have been physically a decline in your brain activity after the accident. Is that right?
Yes, it seemed completely out of sync compared with the way it had been 14 months before.
And so what has happened since that second brain map?
Well, I've gone through a whole programme of stimulation and training, and because I hadn't been here for 6 weeks, this morning we started to see whether the progress had been maintained, which it had.
It has, good.
Thank goodness. So we've now got, which is a slight fluke because nobody planned to have the accident, we've got the so-called me as was, then there's the gap, and now we've got about 6 or 7 other maps since then. And then you look at the results, and it's absolutely mind-boggling and very stimulating as well.
And how do you feel any different? So when you had the accident, did you feel like you weren't as switched on or as bright? And do you feel more so now?
Yeah, I do. I mean, the specific example would be that when I got back to driving after 10 months, actually getting back in a motor car and driving was actually very straightforward. What my brain couldn't function with was the instrumentation. Couldn't work out how to operate the sat-nav and things like that. And it was some of those very, very basic things.
And with the matter of future-proofing your brain, how much does that matter to you? How important do you think it is to take that into consideration at any age?
The interesting thing about that, and I think it's a fabulous question, is that the tendency is, I think, as Maria said, is just to accept. But in actual fact, the future-proofing part of it, I think, is extremely important because we don't just have to accept that we're going to decline. And all the studies do indicate, teachers, civil service, every corporate entity I go into, the demise of people intellectually and mentally and physically within 2 years of finishing work is astonishing.
If there are other people who want to come and experience any element of the Brain Collective, you've helped a colossal variety of people, and people can find out more if they just search online for the Brain Collective. You are based in Windsor House in Harrogate, right in the centre. But just before we go, I do want to introduce one new person to the team.
Hello, I'm Laura, and I started here at the Brain Collective at Christmas, and I'm helping out with the admin side of things and also getting more involved in different therapies and working with the children, because I used to be a teacher as well.
And so if people want to pick up the phone and talk to the Brain Collective, which is always a very, very good first point of call, you will often be the first voice that people hear, is that right?
Yes, that's right, yeah. So we'd like to invite anybody that's interested further in the retiring brain. We're holding a coffee morning here on Thursday, the 5th of April at 9:30 here at Windsor House, where people can come along, chat, and we can tell them a little bit more about how we can help.
And so how can people give you a call and talk to you, Laura, or any of the members of Brain Collective?
So you can either contact us on the phone, which is 01423 565 522 or via email at harrogate@thebraincollective.co.uk.
The Brain Collective on Stray FM's Health and Wellbeing Show.